What is the best way to get people to participate in my blogs and Facebook fan pages in order that I can eventually get them on my list?
You know, I don't have a lot of experience with this. I've mostly resisted the social media hype because from what I've seen, and I know that there are people out there that will disagree with me on this, but most of these people who disagree with me on this have something they're selling. That's why they push this whole social media thing. The leads you get from social media and fan pages and all that, they're not necessarily the best quality. It really all depends on what you're selling and what market you're in. I'm sure there are some markets where it's fine. I'm probably not the right person to ask.
I agree. I'm not either. But I think it would go back with social media. It's kind of similar to email. You're just doing it in a different manner. You're making a post. You're posting a headline, just like in Twitter, Ben. You do some Twitter, and you do some real unique Twitter headlines that get attention. So it's all in your words. What does your headline say, and what does your message say? And it's the same for an email or a post on Twitter or a post on your fan page or on your Facebook account. It's all the same. Are you being different? And use the methods that we've discussed in these questions, and you should stand out compared to everyone else.
I've done Google Analytics with my Facebook and Twitter and all that, and it hasn't been the best way to build a list for me personally, because most of the people I'm friends with and who connected me on Twitter are already on my list. That's not to say it doesn't have a purpose. I have found it to be really good for just getting to know someone you wouldn't normally get to meet. For example, if you want to meet a certain leader or expert or so-called guru in your market, you have a much better chance of connecting with them and actually talking with them if you friend them on Facebook or Twitter and just get in a natural conversation with them based maybe on an update or something they put up there than you do trying to email them cold or call them cold. You know, as long as they're managing their own accounts and they don't have some wacky doing it, you're really talking to them personally through those sites. So I do think there's a purpose for it. I have done joint ventures that have been set up just by meeting someone on Facebook or whatever, but as a list building tool, I just personally have not used it for that. That's why I don't want to comment too much on it.
Ben, every day many strangers send emails making claims about seven-figure incomes, and the question is, how do you separate the truth from the fiction?
I don't believe anything anybody says, personally. I don't know why anybody does. I mean, unless it's Robert Kiyosaki sending the mail out or something like that, and they're claiming seven figures, I don't believe it. And this might be due to the fact that I've written ads for some of these so-called seven-figure marketers, and they don't even make seven figures. They're lying through their teeth. Or maybe they made it once, or maybe they've made $1 million total over 10 years, but of course they've blown it all. I had one client, and I'm not going to name who he is, who claims even today to be a multimillionaire internet marketer, and yet he couldn't afford, you know, an $8,000 copywriting fee. You have to look at these things. Don't trust anybody. This is a good rule of thumb. Don't trust me. Don't trust Michael. Don't trust anybody. Make us prove ourselves to you. Make us prove it however we can, and if we're doing email the right way, we'll prove it to you. Otherwise, just assume people are lying. That sounds kind of cynical, but I think it's a good way to kind of cut through the crap and the hype.
What's the best way to target SafeList, where people are bombarded with hundreds or even thousands of emails daily and are most likely to delete the email without even reading it?
I don't use SafeList for this very reason. To me, it is just a waste of time. They're using Hotmail addresses, and they're just not very good leads. I think Terry Dean has written about this. You know, he tests everything, and I don't want to quote him or anything or misquote him, but it was either him or someone else was talking about how you can build a big list like that, but they're not buyers. I mean, everybody seems to want a shortcut here. There are ways to make it faster, and there's things you can do, but buying lists and these safe lists where you can build a list really big, just because it's a big list doesn't mean you're going to make any money from it. Size is nothing to do with it. It's the quality. So focus more on just building a good, solid, targeted list using the methods that we've described and any other methods that you learn along the way as you get to know more people and buy products, and just do it the right way. Have a good, solid foundation. I'll tell you what, at the time of this recording, my list, because I spent so little time on it, and I don't really spend time getting traffic to it or anything, it's all word of mouth, it's only like 3,000 people, yet, you know, I make enough money where if everything went to hell, I could live on it. That's saying something. You know, that's 3,000 people. That's barely anything. That's only because I brought them in the right way. You know, if I'd gone out and got a safe list of 60,000 people on it or whatever, they might not buy anything. I mean, they may not even be good prospects for what I'm selling. So I personally recommend staying away from safe lists. Just my opinion.
When emailing someone you don't know for the first time, how do you get them to open your email?
If you brought them in the right way, where they opted in, because either A, you're offering them something like a video or a report or some kind of bribe to get them into your list, which is perfectly okay. I mean, we all do it. Or maybe they just like reading your stuff or they like what you're doing on your site and they want to opt in because they want to be part of your world. They're going to know who you are. If you're asking this question, it makes me wonder if you're buying leads again that don't know you. And once again, if you're emailing to someone who doesn't know you, you have a problem there. It's an uphill battle. Now, there are times where maybe you haven't mailed a list in a year or something, and you're unknown to them. I think we discussed that earlier in this call already. You know, there are ways to kind of get their attention, and one of the things you can do is just be blatantly honest. I know I haven't written you in a while. Yada, yada, yada. Just come out and just don't hype them up, throw an exclamation marks at them and all that. Don't try to overwhelm them with big claims thinking that's going to impress them. It's not. Think about if you're approaching someone you hadn't seen in a few years in a social gathering, and you don't know if they remember you or not, and you're not wearing name tags or anything. I mean, you'd go up to them, and you'd be calm and use a little tact and a little class and just start a conversation. It's no different with email.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. What's the quickest way to become indispensable to your email customers?
Just be that person that they want to hear from every day. Be the one person who doesn't lie to them, who doesn't con them, who doesn't exaggerate things, who doesn't promote just anything just because they want to make an affiliate sale. That's a big one, by the way. You got to treat your customer like they're gold because they are gold. That list is your lifeblood of your business. I mean, you got to treat them with respect, even if it means that you're not going to make as much money or something at certain times. Too bad. You gotta put them first. You gotta put their interests first. You should be always thinking about them. Remember, we talked about staying in their world. Keep thinking about what it is that they want, what problems they have. Stay in their world. Talk to them about it. Empathize with them a little bit, you know? And when you find something that you want to sell to them, whether it be one of your products or somebody else's, you make sure it's the best possible solution that you used yourself, ideally, and that you've benefited from, ideally, they'll appreciate that because you'll be the one person who's not out there trying to yank their chain all the time just to make an easy buck.
When you write your email, do you need to write keeping in mind about the spam filters? Do you write around the spam filters?
That's a very good question. When you're writing your first draft of an email, don't worry about it. Just don't even worry about that stuff. Just write it. Any good email system, in fact, all the ones I've seen, I mean, I've only really seen three or four of them, but they all had this thing called Spam Assassin where they will look at your email when you type it in there and it'll compare it against what the known ISP spam filters are looking for and all that. And it'll give you an indication if you're going too far or not. Now, here's the interesting thing. And this is a really interesting question that we're just getting to this today. Just this morning, I've been writing a bunch of emails for a client, and it's selling, you know, how to make money type of thing, and also debt elimination, basically finances, everything that the spam filters that you would think. There's very few ways to word these things without using the word millions or $1 million. The book title actually has the word million in it. And the client was like, you know what, let's run these through Spam Assassin to make sure that we're going to get these through. So I took like 6 emails and I even put the word millionaire in the subject line. I just put them all in one email and I saved it in AWeber just to see what it would show me. And there were only like 2 words that really got flagged. And my opinion is, and I can't prove this, I think spam filters are getting smarter and more sophisticated, and I don't know if they're using algorithms or what, but I think this is good for the rest of us. I think they're getting better at figuring out what's really spam and what's a legitimate thing that's not full of hype and nonsense. So I'm not as paranoid about spam filters as maybe I was a few years ago. Again, if you're using a reputable autoresponder company like you should be using, AWeber, One Shopping Cart, iContact, Infusionsoft, whatever, Constant Contact, whatever you use, they should all have the Spam Assassin function in it, and you can just kind of run it through there. But when you're writing that original email, don't worry about that stuff, because you don't want to self-edit as you write. You just want to get it down. You can edit it later. If there's words you need to take out, that's fine. It'll tell you what words are being flagged, but don't worry about it too much while you're writing.
How do you get people to open your email if you send out one or more emails per day?
You know, we discussed this earlier. You just got to do what's right by them, you know. If you go in every day thinking about them first and how you can serve them and you're interesting and you're not boring them and you're not hyping them and you're not constantly blatantly pitching them, yes, you do want to pitch something, in my opinion, in every email, but it should come after you've made it worth their while to read your email in the first place. If you just take this attitude, and let's say you do have a segmented list like we talked about earlier, so you have two or three lists, and maybe some people are getting four or five emails a day from you. As long as you're in their world, and we keep going back to that Jim Cant saying, but it's true, as long as you're in their world talking about what's interesting to them, you can do this and it's not going to be a big deal. You just can't waste somebody's time. It has to be worth their time to read your email, and that's a good question to ask. Actually, somebody taught me this. It might have been Ken McCarthy or something. I can't remember, but it was in a book. And I said, look, every time before you send somebody something, you have to ask, is this going to warrant them interrupting their day, reading this message for me? If not, you don't send it. It's that simple. I mean, if you just keep that attitude, you cannot go wrong.
How is email marketing different from social media marketing?
As I said before, I'm not the expert of social media, but let's say you're using Facebook pages and that sort of thing, which I've used. I see absolutely no difference. I mean, you're still using the same principles. If there's any differences, I honestly don't know what they are. I mean, you're still talking to your own audience. You're still having respect for their time. You're still trying to talk about what's interesting to them. And if you do it right, you're not going to be coming off some kind of spam artist who everybody's just ignoring. Because even if you're selling something, if you do emails the way we've talked about in this course, you're going to be interesting enough where they don't mind. It's not like it's a big deal that you pitch something. In fact, they should have gotten some kind of value, even if it was just reading an interesting story about someone who's going through a problem they're going through. They should have gotten some kind of value from reading it anyway. So I don't see much difference.
Is writing for mobile emails different than for regular emails? I think they're referring to mobile phones.
You know, I don't see any difference other than I've been told this. This is before I had an iPhone. I finally got one a few months ago. 6 months ago, I wouldn't have been very qualified to answer this. But I have not noticed any difference other than the fact that it might be harder to respond to an offer or something on an iPhone or a smartphone. But other than that, I don't see a whole lot of difference. I do know one thing, and I don't know if this is always going to be this way. This one guy told me, because I sent a YouTube video, or I pointed everyone to a YouTube video, and he said, you know, Ben, it's a good thing you sent us to a YouTube video, because on this phone, I can't watch internet video. It won't really look right unless it's YouTube. So that's just something to keep in mind if you're going to send people to a video.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. And the same thing with some phones, by sending your email out in text, and we talked about this rather than HTML. Do you read your emails on your iPhone, Ben?
I do it if I'm away or something, or I'm just kind of in the car and I'm bored. I have not noticed much of a difference. Maybe I just don't get a lot of HTML emails. I don't know if there's a big difference between text and HTML or not. They probably know better than I would.
Is email marketing on the decline?
You know, there's certainly a lot less people using it all of a sudden because of social media. And this is good for the rest of us. I think it's funny when people say that email marketing is dead, Facebook is going to kill it, or, you know, you hear all these wild, wacky things. Nobody's going to read email anymore. I just don't see that happening. What does the average person do the first thing they get up in the morning is they go and they check their email. I guarantee you they're checking their emails before they're checking their Facebook account. Or if they wanted to get their Facebook and other social media stuff, it usually comes through their email anyway. So they're checking their emails on average 2, 3, 4, 10, 20 times a day, maybe more. Maybe there's some super disciplined people out there who don't, or people who don't use computers at all. They're not in your market anyway if you're using the internet. I don't think it's going anywhere. And I think it's more important than ever before to know how to stand out the way we're talking, because people are realizing that the responses aren't like they used to be. And what they're trying to do is yell louder and scream louder. And it's kind of like these TV commercials. I don't know if you've noticed this, Michael, but you turn on the TV and the commercials get really loud all of a sudden and they go back to the show. It's kind of like that with email and all direct response selling. They think that by yelling louder and being more obnoxious and bigger claims and being more overpowering, they think that's what's going to do it. And I think those are the people that have something to worry about. If people are doing it the way we've been talking about, where you're treating it like a talk radio show and it's interesting and entertaining, it's something they want to read, even if you end up in their spam filter, a lot of those people are going to seek you out, and they may even email you and say, I haven't been getting your emails. And then you just tell them, well, I'm probably in your spam filter or something. Point is, they want to hear from you if you do it right. So I don't know any other medium that will do this for you, unless you have your own talk radio show or something like that.
What is the most important part of email marketing regarding making money?
That's kind of a doozy of a question. I have an opinion on this, and I think if you asked 10 different people, you'd get 10 different answers to this. In my opinion, the most important aspect is I think it's infotainment. I think mixing information with entertainment is the single most important thing that you can do with your email, because entertainment will sell whether you even have something valuable to give away. I mean, I think about people who are on the street. They'll be dancing or playing a guitar or something. People are sending them money. They're not providing really any value to anybody. They're just being entertainers. Entertainers make a crap load of money. Teachers really don't make a lot of money. But I think that if you can combine the authority of someone who can teach on a subject with the celebrity power of someone who knows how to entertain and keep people interested, I just think it's a huge, powerful force when using an email. It almost makes you unstoppable. I mean, nobody can really compete with you. And it's funny because people will try to compete with you. They might even try to reverse engineer what you're doing, but they don't understand it. They don't understand really what you're doing. In fact, their instincts are probably telling them that you're doing something wrong and that they can do it better. So in my opinion, it's infotainment. That doesn't make me right necessarily. This is just my opinion.
What are the steps to generating consistent, profitable, and sustainable email campaigns for marketing clients?
Well, I mean, just last fall, I wrote 100 emails for one client, 100 email series, and then I wrote another 50 emails for their upsell product. And now I'm writing a whole bunch more emails for them. But yeah, definitely.
So if you get good at this, not only if you have your own products, can you sell your own products, you've got a valuable skill that you could offer in a service that you can sell if you're willing to do it.
Ideally, those are the kind of clients I would be doing. Unfortunately, I can't find too many clients who just want email. They always want a sales letter and all this other stuff too, which is understandable. But I actually almost had a chance to write emails for Newt Gingrich.
What happened?
You know Matt Galogli, right?
Yes.
I mean, in fact, he's someone that I met through Facebook, and we set a joint venture up and did that Art Hamill thing, and we all got paid on it, all because of Facebook. His company, that's what they do, their internet marketing done-for-you services. And someone in his company knows Newt Gingrich's marketing guy or something, and they wanted to be able to send out like 3 emails a week selling his products or getting donations or whatever. And Matt, I guess, thought highly enough of me to offer that to me if it went through. The deal never went through, unfortunately.
Did you talk to them?
They don't even know who I am, right? I just talked to Matt, but they were in negotiations. And I'm not even like this big fan of Newt Gingrich or anything, but man, that would have been a sweet gig. And this is valuable for anyone who wants to do this. That would have been a fee, like, you know, $3,000-$4,000 a month. Plus, I was asking for just a small cut of the sales generated by my emails. And what I was asking wasn't even that much.
And to be able to say you wrote for Newt Gingrich.
That's a huge one, but it didn't happen. But it doesn't matter. The point is there are gigs out there like that. There are people who absolutely are looking for someone to write emails because it is a mystery to people. They just can't figure it out. And if you can find someone like that, it's definitely marketable.
What is the best way to outsource writing emails that boost clients' acquisition and retention?
Don't outsource to some guy who's only going to work for $5 an hour or whatever. You know, you don't want to cheap out on this any more than you want to cheap out on a brain surgeon. This is profits. So if you're going to outsource email, you got to be prepared to pay for it. You know, you see this a lot, and you and I made this work for a little bit, where people will work just on commission. Some writers will do that, and some clients like that. I have found that what happens is that might work for short term. It doesn't tend to work long term, and the reasons are many. So I don't really promote that as a way to do it anymore. I think it's better for someone just to get paid up front. And if you're hiring someone, to pay them up front. I'm not saying don't work out a deal with them on contingency. I'm just saying be careful with the stuff because I've seen it fail too many times. And there's so many forces at work that can make these things fail that you got to be careful. So pay them good, but don't expect them just to work for free for you, just on commission or anything like that necessarily.
Email is obviously brilliant for most types of companies, but how can a one-person business, like a painter or plasterer or builder or plumber, use it to build their business?
You can definitely use email for that. I think email can and should be used by people like that. Think about it. Let's say you're a painter. Okay, now not everybody needs their house painted or a room painted or anything painted all the time. But you can start an e-zine on home improvement, for example, on something generalized that a lot of people are interested in. And at the end of every issue, which could be a daily e-zine or weekly, whatever you can do, you make a little plug for your services. Believe me, when you're talking about professions like this where there's an assumption of competence, and by that I mean most people just figure all painters are the same and, you know, all lawyers are the same and all doctors are the same. And, you know, whether that's true or not, you know, I'm not saying it is. I mean, that's the perception. It's called an assumption of competence, and most professionals run into this. There is no other choice if they need something painted. you could send out an e-zine, you know, your daily e-zine, just talking about general home improvement stuff or construction stuff, whatever it is, and you make a little pitch for yourself every time. And you can also make relationships with other people who sell other things and get paid a commission if you sell their stuff. I wouldn't even mind doing something like that myself if I had to do it over, because I think it would be such a no-brainer.
Hi, it's Michael Senoff, and if you like what you've been listening to in this 10-part series with Ben Settle on email, I want to introduce an incredibly advanced system on selling that can be used in your one-to-one phone call conversations, in all of your email correspondence, and or integrated into your written sales letters. Go to www.hardtofindseminars.com/HCPSOE.htm. Or you could just go to Google and search these words, the highest paid salesman on earth, and you'll find a link to an incredible product that will only enhance all your selling efforts, whether it's one-to-one phone conversations, emails, or in your sales letters. Check it out at hardtofindseminars.com/HPSOE.htm. This is the end of part 8. Please continue to part 9.